Drama in International.
Asmad, are you finished?
Yes, the men have been briefed.
They will muster again at this point no later than 4 tomorrow morning. He will immediately issue them with arms. And then at 4, we will leave for the hotel. The men have studied the hotel plans.
Better than that. Most have been there to see for themselves.
Good. That is very enterprising.
We've also spent some time looking for faults in the plan.
Well, did you find any loopholes?
Oh, none, Fajid. You have planned it to perfection.
Let us not be overconfident. Nothing is truly perfect. And to believe so can lead to our own destruction. Never, my friend, underestimate the wits of the enemy. I had a talk with Mahmoud this afternoon. Mm-hmm. He tells me the hotel is filled to capacity, mostly foreigners. A fact which is greatly to our advantage. Yes, and this brings me to one important point. Violence must be kept to a minimum. I trust you have told the men this.
Yes, it will not be easy.
There must be violence, yes, but only between ourselves and the enemy. The hostages must not be harmed. We cannot afford to lose public sympathy for our cause by committing acts which will be publicized by our enemies as atrocities.
Atrocities. And what are they doing to our women and children at Bania El Bru?
Curb your emotions, my friend. Emotions cloud the wits and lose wars. We must act like machines. And my orders must be obeyed without question. Tell the men of this, then dismiss them.
Roger Pearson, and I was visiting Beirut on business with my wife when in the 1976 civil war between the Christian and Muslim factions broke out. We were staying at the new 25-story Angora Hotel, which was situated in a predominantly Christian area, hitherto untouched by the madness of the war. That night we slept fitfully, little realizing that we were about to become a focal point of world attention in a few hours' time. The raid on the hotel, led by the Muslim commander, Fajid, was so skillfully done that we and our fellow hotel guests heard nothing until the hour after the takeover had been completed. Not a shot had been fired.
Oh, Roger. Who could help me?
Oh, it's probably the early morning coffee. Blast. I told them not to call us till 7:30. Oh, I'd better open up. What the...
Do not be alarmed. The Hotel Angora has been occupied by a unit of the Muslim Liberation Army. Our commander requests that all guests assemble in the nightclub on the top floor immediately. This is a precaution for your own safety in the event of an attack by the enemy.
Eh? What is all
you
this?
You have 5 minutes to dress and assemble, that is all.
Well, that was brief and to the point.
Who was it, Roger? What did he want?
You'd better get dressed, love. It looks like we're right in the middle of a war. It all seemed so unreal. There we were, packed with 600 other guests in the nightclub, and being addressed by a tall, swarthy man in camouflage uniform. Lining the walls were a dozen men in similar attire, each carrying an automatic weapon. After the first surprised reaction, the crowd hushed to allow the Muslim commander to speak.
Your attention, please. First, I must apologize for the inconvenience you have been caused. I'm sure you will understand that in war there must be many inconveniences suffered, even by those of you who are not directly involved. I can assure you that while we occupy this hotel, you will come to no harm by our hands if you make no attempt to resist. I want that clearly understood. However, I'm not in a position to speak for our enemies. For this reason, all guests who occupy rooms between the first and fifth floors will remain here. The rest may return to their rooms and stay there. We will do our best to feed you and attend to your other needs. Naturally, you will not be allowed to leave the hotel, nor will you be allowed to go below the sixth floor level.
Why don't you just let us go?
That will be a matter of negotiation between myself and the commander of the Christian forces.
Dazed by the realization of our predicament, Sonia and I returned to our room on the 15th floor. I checked the phone. It was dead. At that time, 6:30, the scene in the street below was no different than usual, but not for long. At 6:45, we heard the sound of numerous police sirens and the traffic and pedestrian flow stopped. By 7, the street was completely deserted. The siege had begun. All the hotel exits were heavily guarded, and the Muslim commander paced up and down in the foyer waiting for the enemy's first move. One of the guerrillas, who was answering calls at the switchboard, signaled to Asmad, who in turn relayed the message to Fashid. The Muslim commander hurried to the switchboard to take the call.
Fashid here. Who am I speaking to?
Kipper, military commander for this area.
I know you.
I know you. You made a clever move, I must admit. I suppose you realize that you're in a trap.
Am I, Kemal? With 600 hostages, most of them foreign nationals... What can you do? Shell the hotel and kill most of them? No, I think not. Take the hotel by frontal assault? You will lose many men and fail.
Instead of saber-rattling, why don't you tell me why you've taken the hotel?
Meneer Al-Bru.
I have no authority over what is happening there. If your men holding the town surrender, the fighting will end.
You know that is a futile argument. They will never surrender. Now, what I propose is this. Order a truce at Meneer Al-Bru and allow the women, old men, and children to leave. In return, we will free the hotel guests. In my mind, a fair exchange.
No. No. A truce would give an opportunity for you to smuggle more men and arms into the town.
Yes, that is always your excuse. The fact that women and children are dying by the dozen every day from hunger and your artillery bombardment doesn't matter.
The town should have been evacuated while there was time. Those who stayed behind must know the consequences.
I'm not going to argue, Kemal. You know my demands. Arrange a truce or attack the hotel. It is up to you.
Rashid, you cannot succeed. Surely you can see how vulnerable you are. All we have to do is turn off your water and electricity and then starve you out.
I would not advise that. The first people to suffer would be the hostages. If they come to harm, think of the international repercussions. Nobody has been hurt yet, and I would like to keep it that way. There is one problem.
What is that?
If our situation gets desperate, I might have trouble stopping my men from throwing hostages from the upper floors.
Yes, I was expecting something like that.
Well, now you have it. Give it a lot of thought, and let me know your decision. You were listening in, Asmat?
Yes, but do you mean it? About killing the hostages?
Bluff, my friend. What is the good of hostages if their lives are not threatened? There's a vast difference between the threats and the action.
The Christians will not give way easily.
Not without a fight. I won't wait for a call from Kemal. It might never come. But an assault on the hotel will. Check the exits once more and see that the roof of the building is heavily guarded, but not so it can be seen from above. They might try to land men there from helicopters.
By 9 that morning, the hotel was completely ringed by military vehicles and the distant figures of heavily armed soldiers who could be seen flitting from cover to cover. A few shots were heard, which I took to be an exchange of fire between opposing snipers. At 9:30, a nervous-looking waiter brought us sandwiches and coffee, for which we were exceedingly thankful. Obviously, some of the hotel staff were still on duty.
I could eat another 2 plates of sandwiches.
Yeah, so could I, love. But I suppose we're lucky to get what we did.
What do you think will happen, Roger?
It's hard to say. There's been no attempt to launch an attack, so I take it they're negotiating. The electricity's still on, which surprises me. I wonder why the Muslims have moved out of their own area to do this. They must know they'll never get out of here alive.
It might be a way to relieve the pressure on that Muslim town that was surrounded a few days ago. There's almost a massacre going on there. Well, So the man in the cocktail bar told me yesterday.
Why, he's a Muslim, so it's probably propaganda. There's so many tales flying around, one doesn't know fact from fiction.
Well, now, being hostages is no fiction. I see they're evacuating all the buildings opposite. Yeah, and I can see men up on the roofs.
What the...
Hey!
Sonia, get away from that window.
Somebody fired at me.
Yeah, trigger-happy sniper. Your hairstyle and the color of your dress must have made him think you're one of the Muslim guerrillas.
Well, from now on, I'm going to stay sitting here on the bed.
First, you'd better comb out your hair and change your dress. That bright yellow dress you were wearing last night will do.
Oh, just give me a chance to stop shaking.
Now, there. Do you see it? It's keeping low, but maneuvering closer.
What did they hope to do with one helicopter?
Land men on the roof and try to attack from above, just as you anticipated.
But only one? It is suspicious, Sussman.
Yeah.
They could easily unload three helicopter loads of men on the roof here in as many minutes, if we were unprepared for them. But only one.
Oh, there's something wrong. Oh, perhaps they were merely reconnoitering.
No, there are three buildings which overlook this roof, so why send a helicopter to check?
Ah, we will soon know. As you can see, the men are all well concealed. The copter's getting closer.
It's a trick, my friend. They want to keep us busy up here while they launch an assault down below. Now you stay up on the roof, and I shall alert the ground in first force.
The helicopter hovered closer to the hotel's roof while Azmad and his men kept out of sight. Then, under the impression that the roof was unguarded, the craft came into land. Suddenly, all hell broke loose. Muslims opened up with a deadly hail of fire. The helicopter pilot tried to veer away, smoke pouring from the fuselage. It hovered like a wounded bird for several awful seconds. Then dropped and exploded in the street below. Almost simultaneously, swarms of men ran out from cover towards the hotel's main entrance. An explosion rocked the building. And as it did so, the Christian attackers changed their direction and made for a huge hole that had been blown out of the side of the hotel. But Rashid and his men were prepared for such a move. Even before the smoke had cleared, accurate and heavy automatic fire spat death through the hole, cutting down the attackers in swarms. The assault collapsed. Men fled back to cover, and the street became silent, apart from the cries of the wounded.
Fantastic, I wonder.
Two men killed in the explosion, and three wounded by gunfire. Not bad. But they must have lost 40 at least. Azmat, you can bring some men down from the roof now. I doubt if they'll try to land there again. Kimmel must have thought there were only about 10 of us. They'll be feeling very piqued. I'll take it. Hello?
Is that Rashid?
I was just talking about you. Your men run well.
That was a warning. Nothing else.
I wouldn't try to blow any more holes in the wall, Kimmel. My men have placed some of the hostages along them. You don't want to kill them, do you? I don't bluff. In fact, if you make another stupid attack like that again, it will rain hostages from the 25th floor. When you see them falling, you'll realize I'm not a man to bluff.
Followed a long lull in activity after the attack had failed. Sonia and I kept well inside our room, ducking every time it became necessary to pass a window. More sandwiches and coffee arrived for lunch, but certainly not enough to satisfy our appetites. Uppermost in our minds was the one great question. What was going to happen next?
Apart from another frontal attack, what other alternatives have we? Meshek, you were trained by the PLO in urban guerrilla warfare. Perhaps you know the answer.
I was taught how to conduct it, not to combat it.
Put yourself in Fashid's position. Now, what would you fear most?
Well, that one or more of my men were traitors and spies for the enemy. You know the saying about one bad apple in a barrel?
Oh, let us stick to reality. There is no chance nor time to infiltrate. Where will be their weakest spot?
The hostages. The guarding of them. 10, 20 hostages can be easily guarded. But 600?
A good point. Yes, yes, sir. I don't see how it helps us at the moment.
But from our observations, the hostages are spread between the sixth and top floors. Is there not some way to get some men up there disguised as hotel guests? The Muslims will never smell them out until it's too late.
And how to get them inside the hotel?
Well, I've not yet considered that, but...
I want to know about methods we can use now, right away. It is 2 PM. The French, German, British, and American ambassadors are screaming for us to make a settlement. The world's eyes are on us, Michek.
The world's eyes have been on us for a long time, Commander. Focusing on our bombardment of Menhir El Brew.
What is happening there is none of my doing.
Perhaps not. But it has lost our cause much sympathy with the outside world.
Look, we are not here to discuss Menhir El Brew. Have you any other ideas on how we can retake the Hotel Angora?
Only by deception.
I explain.
They want Menhir El Brew relieved and a truce called.
Yes.
Very well. Tell them that this is being done. Lay on a false news broadcast. Appear to withdraw our forces. Then seize them as they emerge from the hotel.
Oh, no. The Rashid is too wily to fall for that. He will have spies watching us to make sure our withdrawal is genuine. Besides, the breaking of a truce pact would give us even more bad publicity amongst the international community.
Well, Commander, that only leaves another attempt at a frontal assault. Perhaps after a smoke and tear gas bombardment.
We lost 53 men this morning and hardly made a dent in their defenses. No, I hesitate to do it again.
With gas masks?
Oh, Rashid's men also have gas masks. Only the hostages would be affected.
Then we are in a position of stalemate.
No. Well, not quite, Meshek. There is one move which comes readily to mind.
Yes?
It is my last resort. We'll talk of it later. I shall phone Rashid once more.
You had long enough to work out your master plan, Kemmel.
We're waiting.
Stop trying to bait me, Rashid.
Then tell me why you have telephoned.
I want to make a deal for the release of your hostages.
Only the relief of Menhir El Brew can do that.
At least release the women and the children.
Certainly, if your forces will release the women and children at Menhir El Brew.
You must know that is impossible, Rashid. Look, I'd prefer to make an honorable settlement, but it will take time. You have all these foreign citizens as hostages, which makes matters exceedingly difficult.
For you, yes. But if we had 600 Lebanese subjects in here, you would have shelled the hotel to street level by now.
You are not making negotiations easy.
You know what we want.
All right, Rashid. One more suggestion comes to mind. If you will release the women and children in the name of humanity, I shall arrange for a like number of volunteer hostages to take their place.
Every one of them a Falangist Party supporter. You must think we are stupid. We need none of your fanatics among our hostages.
In the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity? What about Menhir El Brew? Take your pleas for humanity to your own leaders first. I'm tired of futile talk, Kemmel. Telephone me when you have something positive to contribute.
They will not give way, Rashid.
When we planned this operation, we knew our chances of success were slim. We accepted that. The Falangists fear to lose face. We fear to lose face. So it will be a fight, Asmad. To extinction. We can expect a determined attack next time. So have the hostages herded out of harm's way up onto the 25th floor. 2 men only to guard the door.
A few minutes later, there was a knock on our room door, and we were ordered to join our fellow guests in the nightclub of the 25th floor. We were assured that it was for our own safety, but we found that pretty hard to believe. This time, there were no armed guards to watch us. Instead, 2 men sat outside by the elevators to prevent our leaving. In hushed tones, some of the men talked of trying to overcome them by sheer weight of numbers. But the guards were alert and kept at a distance of at least 10 meters. With the weapons they were holding, they could easily have killed 10 to 20 of us before we came to grips. So the talk stayed as it was, just talk.
Still thinking, Meshach?
What else is there to do?
Well, I hope it has borne fruit. I've just had a call from the Central Committee to bring the matter to a conclusion, and quickly. There is pressure from abroad. Oh, the whole initiative has been left to me.
There is a way of bringing them out.
What is it?
We have 3,000-plus prisoners in El Bira campnet. We can parade them into Mohammed's Square, which can be overlooked by the hotel.
And start to shoot them in batches. Is that what you're going to suggest?
Well, yes.
Ah, you are the fifth to make that suggestion. Nobody around here seems to be using his brains.
What is wrong with the plan? Fascid and his gangsters will never permit 3,000 of his own people to be shot right under his nose. He'll surrender to save their lives.
Do you really think so, Meshek? And do you think that we can tolerate the sight of 600 hostages being thrown from the roof of the Angora Hotel? Already the observers have reported that the guests have been moved up to the 25th floor.
Would Fashid go to those lengths?
Would we shoot 3,000 prisoners?
Yes.
No. Oh, I could never give that order.
All right. But Fashid doesn't know that. We could bluff him.
Ah, this is all nonsense. Anything we can do, he can do too. Only better. If we shoot 3,000 prisoners, we have the world against us for committing an atrocity.
And the world will be against Fashid if he kills his hostages.
No. Oh, you're wrong, Meshek. The world will still be against us, because we could have negotiated for their release. Oh, my friends, we are the ones in the hot seat, not Fashid.
I don't see that.
That's the trouble. Nobody sees the next move and its consequences. We're too blinkered by our own fanatical views. Don't you see, Meshek, that if we shoot prisoners and Fashid kills his hostages, then we kill him and his men, and what will the end result be?
We'll have won.
Only here. Only at the Hotel Angora. And what about our overall cause? We've lost every friend we had. It will, in fact, be a moral victory for the enemy. Now, is that what we want?
No, but...
I'm going to take my last resort.
You mean a truce? Surrender to Fashid's demands?
No. No, not a truce. Truces are too easily broken by both sides. Summon my field commanders at 6 so we can act soon after dark. Yeah. It is strange. It's the opposite of what we expected.
Are you sure the streets have been cleared of Philandra's units?
I sent two parties out to check. The way out of the city is clear.
Could be a trap.
Possibly, yes.
Does Kebel think we will try to escape from the hotel?
No, it doesn't make sense.
He knows we won't leave unless the bombardment of Munir al Bru is raised.
Why hasn't he contacted me?
Yes? And who do you want? Fashid, this is for you.
Kemal?
No. Mahatma from Munir al Bru.
Can this really be true?
The Falangist forces have withdrawn to a position 15 kilometers east of Munir al Bru. Mahatma is busy right now evacuating everybody from the ruins.
That was Mahatma.
It was his voice, and he said all the right things. Asmat, we've achieved our object. The people of Munir al Bru are saved.
Now we must think of ourselves.
We will withdraw from the hotel and head north out of Beirut.
And if we walk into a trap?
Then we fight. Munir al Bru is relieved. Our deaths will not have been in vain. Muster the men down here and have nothing said to the hostages.
It was after midnight when one of our number noticed that the guards by the elevators were missing. Cautiously, we went down to the ground floor, only to be met by a silent, deserted foyer. Amazed, some of us ran out into the street cheering and shouting, while others went back by elevator to tell those waiting in the nightclub. It had ended as quietly and as stealthily as it had begun. I heard later that the Muslim leader and his men walked out of Beirut without incident and helped in the evacuation of Munir al Bru's survivors. As for Kemal, he faced criticism from outraged fanatics, but praise from the international community and his own moderates. They agreed with him when he said, "Sometimes an act of good faith is worth all the bullets and bombs in the world's armories." We who were hostages, and those who were trapped in Munir al Bru, know how right he was.
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.